Good evening and a warm word of welcome to 6 Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. Once again, you're joining with us for our weekly Bible study. And we're delighted you're here. We're delighted you're able to tune in. And I do pray that the Lord will richly bless you and encourage you through his precious word this evening as we study it together. Now, we certainly did enjoy last weekend as the young people of our congregation were able to take part in both services. And this Sunday, can I just say that we're looking forward to it as well. Another special occasion in our calendar when it would have been our Children's Day services, when the Sunday School children of our church would have been taking part both morning and evening. Of course, unfortunately, they're not able to do their normal program or to take part in that normal way. But we are delighted that many, if not all, of our Sabbath School children are going to be taking part in both the morning and evening service. And I invite you and encourage you even to tune in this Sunday at 11:30 and 7 p.m. as the children will be taking part both with piano, with readings, with singing, and with a poem as well. And we're looking forward to those parts as they come this Sunday. Now, can I ask you once again this evening to open your Bibles in the book of the Psalms as we continue. This psalm was read for us on your Sunday by our brother Paul, and we're looking at it tonight together. Psalm 66. Psalm number 66, it is entitled To the Chief Musician, a Song or a Psalm. The Psalm 66, we're going to take the time to read it together this evening. Can we also just say, on behalf of our Enniskillen congregation, just to pass on that those of us in our congregation who look forward to the Lough Erne Convention every year, unfortunately it has been cancelled for 2020. But God willing, will be reconvening in 2021. So just to say, the Lough Erne Convention is cancelled this year, but we do look forward to returning next August. So Psalm 66, let's read it together. The verse number 1, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honour of his name, and make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee, and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land, and they went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power for ever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth have spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings. With the incense of rams I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Amen. We trust once again the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to each and to every heart. We've entitled our look tonight at Psalm 66 with the question, or with the statement, who is to praise the Lord? Who is to praise the Lord? Let's have a moment's prayer. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. With thy word even open before us even now, we thank thee for it. We thank thee, O God, even for the encouragement that we can find, the exhortations, the exaltation of Christ even in it. We thank thee that this is another psalm of praise. We thank thee, O God, even as we will consider tonight who it is that is to praise the Lord, who it is that has that opportunity and that encouragement and that task, that commission even to praise the Lord. No, Father, we just pray even now that thou wilt bless us and help us, that thou wilt empty us of self and of sin, and thou wilt fill us with thy Spirit. Grant us, O God, the wisdom. Grant us the clarity. Grant us the unction, O God. Grant us the words to say. Speak to each one. Thou knowest each who will hear this message. Thou knowest, O God, their needs even at this time, whether it be spiritual, whether it be mental, physical, whatever the needs may be. O God in heaven, we just commit them under thy hands. We pray that the Spirit of God will be busy, even in applying the word to each and to every heart. Save the lost, restore the backslidden, and encourage thy children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue our journey through the book of the Psalms and through this particular section, which is devoted to praise. If you were with us last week, you will remember that we looked at the subject of why we are to praise the Lord. And we gave that answer through considering his salvation, the salvation which the Lord gives to us fully and freely. We considered as well his sovereignty, both over the physical world and indeed the spiritual world, and how our Lord is in control of all things. And then finally, we considered his sustenance and how our God supplies all of our need, both the temporal and indeed the spiritual need. And we finished with those words, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." And that is right. It is proper that we render unto the Lord praise. It is proper that we give to the Lord all of the credit, all of the glory for everything that he has done for us in the past, for everything that he continues to do for us in the present, and for everything that he will do for us in the future. He is a great God, and he is greatly to be praised. So we now know why we must praise the Lord. So then this week we follow on by asking the question, well, who is to praise the Lord? How wide or how narrow a net should that be? Is it something that only is for one group or for one nation or for one people to be involved in? And so often today you will hear people talk about religion and they will say, oh, every person has their own beliefs. Every person has their own religion. And so everyone can do what they want. They can worship as they want. They can believe in what they want. They can trust in what they want. And they can act in whatever way they want. But that is not necessarily the case. The Lord makes it very clear that worship is to be rendered unto him. And worship, he expects worship to be rendered unto him from all over the world. You know, if you notice these two psalms, these next two psalms, Psalm 66 and Psalm 67, they are not attributed to David. Psalm 66 is believed to have been penned in the aftermath of a very challenging and a very tough time in the nation of Israel. When we read verse 12 of Psalm 66, it says, "Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads, and we went through fire and we went through water, but thou broughtest us into a wealthy place." And you can get that sense of how desperate a situation it was, and yet the Lord had delivered them. Israel, in that figurative sense, men were driving over their heads. And they were going through fire, they were going through water. In other words, they were going through great times of danger. And yet the Lord preserved them. You know, some commentators believe that the time in question was Israel's deliverance and miraculous defeat of the Assyrians, which is recorded for us in Isaiah 36 and 37. And so they attribute this psalm to King Hezekiah. Now, whoever the psalmist is in this passage, whether it be Hezekiah or not, certainly we can see there is much joy and there is much praise in this psalm. And as the psalmist is rejoicing, he expects that joy and that praise to spread. It is not like a little ember just inside of him, but rather he is expecting that fire of praise, as it were, to spread throughout all the land. and even further afield. We're going to split this psalm into three particular sections this evening as we simply look at who is to praise the Lord. The first section is the verses 1 through to the end of verse 7. And the first section, or the first people that is mentioned, is an international audience. And an international audience. The verse 1, it begins with the words, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands." It is clear that this psalm is a missionary psalm. For from the outset of it, the praise that is to be rendered, and the praise that is being encouraged to be rendered, is not by just one particular crowd or one particular people. Remember, the majority of those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament were Israelites. They were from the land of Israel. Of course, the biggest exception to that is what we've already are been studying and what we're considering in our morning services in the land, or in the book of Jonah, the land of Nineveh. And how that great city of Nineveh would be turned to the Lord, and even the sailors upon the boat, these were ungodly, these were Israelite people, and yet they were turned to the Lord. And we can highlight other individual examples throughout the Old Testament. We can think of Naaman, how the Lord saved Naaman. But there are these scatterings of people, but on the vast majority and the overwhelming number of circumstances in the Old Testament, each one who believed in the Lord, each one who praised the Lord, each one who worshipped the Lord aright, were from Israel. So many of the other nations, they despised Israel. They despised their God. And yet the psalmist encourages all of the lands to make a joyful noise unto God. That statement in itself, it is an expectant statement. That the invitation would not go unanswered. It's not simply a case that he's thrown it out there and it's just going to fall upon that stony ground, as it were, and just disappear and never bring any fruit or any flourishment at all. It's an expectant statement. It's a prophetic statement. That the psalmist here, he believes and he knows with that assurance that from the various nations, men and women would be reached and turned to Christ, and they would praise the Lord. You see, it is God's will and purpose that all nations would praise him. That all nations would turn and lift their voices and rejoice in him. But I highlight and I emphasize this, that nations can only praise the Lord if they trust in him and if they accept Christ as Lord. If a nation has a different religion, if a nation has a different faith, if a nation has a different God, then they're not worshipping God aright. If their faith and their trust is not completely in the Lord Jesus Christ, if they have not the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and King over their lives and over their nation, then they are not praising the Lord. You see, each one can only praise the Lord if they know him. It's wonderful when we consider this verse and we consider even the missionary emphasis in it, that men and women from across the world do come, have come, and will come to a knowledge and understanding of who the Lord truly is. They will come to understand and to know that honour is due to the Lord's name, as it says in the verse number 2, sing forth the honour of his name. Men and women across the world will come to understand the great honour that is attributed to the name of Jesus Christ, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Men and women from all the nations will come to understand and to know the greatness of his power. As it says in verse number 3, through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. It will become clear. God will reveal himself. And God will show forth his honour, his glory, his majesty, his power. It will cause them to rejoice. It will cause them to be full of joy and singing. You think of the words that are found in the book of Romans in the chapter 15. In the verse 9 it says, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. My, when you consider it, Gentiles and Jews coming together to worship the Lord. Men and women from every continent, every nation, even the nations that are ruled with an iron grip, yet men and women from those nations will praise and glory in the Lord. Even the nations who are dominated by false religions. Even those nations where men and women are believed, are forced to believe a certain doctrine. Even those nations which are actively fighting against Christianity and actively suppressing the gospel of Christ, souls will be saved. And praise will be rendered unto the Lord. Oh, how true are the words of Isaiah 59 in the verse 1, which says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. My friend, that's a reality. There is not one person in this world that is beyond the salvation or is too hard for the Lord to save. There is not one nation, it doesn't matter how strong they are in their faith towards a different God or towards a different form of religion, there is not one that the Lord cannot break. Not one that the Lord cannot save. You think even across the world, and it's been ramped up over these last number of years, even to a greater extent, the anger and the voices of hatred that there are against the gospel, against the influence of the gospel in society, against the influence of the gospel in schooling, in laws, and yet the grace of God can break those people. And the Lord can save them. And the Lord can wash them thoroughly and give them a new heart to worship and to praise. You know, there isn't a follower of any religion that Christ cannot save. There isn't one atheist which cannot be brought to believe. The grace of God is greater than all. And what an encouragement that is, even for the child of God to go forth and to pray for missionaries. What an encouragement that is for a denomination to send forth missionaries, that they're not sending them forth on a fool's errand, that they're not sending them forth with a ready defeat, no one, but rather they're sending them forth in that expectation that there will be a spiritual harvest. That whatever nation, whatever country, whether it be far afield or even at home, if a missionary goes forth, they can and they should expect a spiritual harvest. They should expect souls to be saved. And they go forth knowing that the Lord Jesus, even in the Great Commission, he promised success. He promised souls to be saved. Matthew 28:19, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing in the name. And the baptizing here, it comes after the preaching of the gospel. They're baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In other words, they're expecting success. And God's promised them success. There's missionaries we send forth, and they go forth knowing that Christ will be uplifted. And when he is uplifted, he will draw all men unto himself. See, that's the power of God. That's the gospel. And it's only the gospel that can change. It's only the gospel that can bring the hardened sinners. It's only the gospel that can bring men and women steeped in sin, even to look on to the Lord Jesus Christ, to put their faith and trust in him, and then to praise him. That's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, as Romans 1:16 tells us. And as verse 7 reminds us, here in Psalm 66, he ruleth by his power forever. That power of God never diminishes. The power of God to save a sinner, to keep a sinner. You wash him throughly and to cleanse him from all unrighteousness, to bring them unto saving faith and to keep them forever. That power never diminishes. And so all lands, men and women in these lands will make a joyful noise unto the Lord. There is an international audience here in view. But then secondly, I want you to see the verses 8 to 12. that there is a national acclamation. There is a national acclamation. The psalmist here, he says, the verse number 8, O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. The psalmist, he now turns his attention to his own people. He turns his attention away from the international, from all of the world, and he brings it that bit closer to home. He's bringing it into his own nation. And he encourages them, praise the Lord. He's encouraging them to bless the Lord. And if any nation at that time had cause to praise the Lord, it was Israel. The Lord had rescued them from slavery in Egypt. It was the Lord who had split the Red Sea for them to cross whenever the Egyptians were chasing hard behind them. Even as it tells us in the verse 6, he turned the sea into dry land and they went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He then guided them through the wilderness. The Lord kept them for those 40 years in the wilderness, even though there was moaning and complaining, even though there was lack of faith, even though there was lack of belief. Yet the Lord brought them through. That nation of Israel was preserved. Yes, men died in the wilderness, but the nation of Israel as a whole was kept. Then he brought them into the promised land. He enabled them to defeat their enemies. He enabled them to claim their inheritance. The Lord had given to Israel his law. The Lord had given to Israel his word. The Lord had given to Israel a sanctuary to worship in. He had given them priests and prophets to lead them in worship, to offer the sacrifices, and to read and proclaim the word of God. When Israel sinned, he punished them. He chastened them, but he did not cast them off. How often have we read, even through the Old Testament times, in the book of Judges and 1st, 2nd Samuel and the Kings, the Chronicles, those books, and time again, either ungodly men were raised up to the office of king, or even before that time of Judges, when a judge died, the people constantly turned away from the Lord, yet he never cast them off. He punished them, yes. He chastened them, yes. He brought them back, and when they returned and when they served him, the Lord blessed them. The Lord caused them to flourish. Oh, surely the nation of Israel had much cause to bless and to praise the Lord. You know, everything I've just said about Israel can surely be applied to the Christian. Each one who is truly saved, Christ has freed us from the shackles of slavery of sin. The Jew, they give thanks for Passover. That important feast, that important date in the calendar, whenever the Jew remembers the Passover and how it was that time when the lamb was slain, the blood was sprinkled upon the door. The Jew remembers Passover. The Christian, we rejoice in the glory of the cross. We rejoice in the cross today. We rejoice in the cross being now empty, and we rejoice in the tomb now being empty. For Christ died, yes, but he rose again. He is alive forevermore. We rejoice as well because the Lord guides us by his Spirit into our inheritance, which he has won for us. We rejoice because Christ has fulfilled the law on our behalf. And Christ has given to us his complete canon of Scripture. Genesis to Revelation, it's all there. All 66 books are there for our instruction, there for our guidance. The Lord has given to us a sanctuary. He has given us a format of how to worship him in the praise and the prayer of the preaching. He's given us the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, even to remember his sacrifice, to remember his death till he come. That complete, that unique, that perfect sacrifice of Christ dying for our sins upon the cross. He's given to his people preachers. He's given to his people pastors and teachers to preach the word, to care for the flock, to reach the lost, to preach forth the unsearchable riches of the gospel, to preach forth Christ in all his fullness. And when we as his children have sinned and failed him, he's chastened us, yes, because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. But yet he's never cast us off. When we're looking to him, when we're following him, when we're serving him, his smile is towards us, his blessings are towards us, and he causes us, his people, to flourish. Oh yes, as we said on Sunday in relation to Jonah, Psalm 103 in the verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And rather with the psalmist in Psalm 68 and 19, we can say, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Oh, he holds our soul in this life, as the verse 9 says. He suffereth our foot not to be moved. Oh, he's tried us like silver. And yet through it all, he's brought us into that wealthy place, as the verse number 12 tells us at the end. Child of God, the church has much to praise the Lord for. You consider everything that the Lord has done for us. You consider everything that the Lord has provided for us. You consider everything that the Lord continues to do and has promised us even for the future. Surely we have to lift our voices. Surely our hearts should be overfilled with joy and with thanksgiving, with praise, when we consider how great is the Lord and how great is his mercy towards us and how great his love and his grace is to us continually. Oh, what a God we serve. What a Christ we have. Thirdly and finally, not only the international audience, not only the national acclamation, but then thirdly and finally in the verses 13 to 20, I want you to see the individual affirmation. The individual affirmation. The psalmist says, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings, and I will pay thee my vows. Notice the change in this part of the psalm. We go down these final verses from 13 onwards, no longer is he speaking to and stirring up the people to worship and to praise. Now he's speaking to himself. Now he's seeking to stir up his own heart to praise. He's now changed from the we and from the yous into it's now I and it's my. In the verse 13 he says, I will go into thy house. I will pay my vows which my lips have uttered when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices. I will offer bullocks with goats. And so on and so on. It's all I. It's all the personal pronoun now coming in. Yes, he will join with his fellow people in the corporate worship, but it isn't enough just to be there. I've been highlighting this over even the course of our study on Jonah. The worship is a personal thing. Worship is not a case of just joining together and watching as everyone else is able to worship the Lord and gives their thanks and their praise. And worship is not there just to simply sit as other people enjoy the blessing of the Lord. When we join together in corporate worship, yes, we are joining together, but there is still that rendering of praise individually. We lift up our own voices. We don't just sit back and let other people lift up their voices in praise. We are to lift up our voice. We are to praise the Lord for what he has done for us, for me individually. The psalmist here, he's saying very simply, he must worship the Lord for what he has done, or for what the Lord has done for him personally. He promises to pay his vows in the verse 13. He promises to offer the burnt offerings, to offer the best offerings, because there in the verse 15, he speaks about, I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings. He's given the very best of the animals. He's not giving, as it were, the skinniest and the worst in the pack and in the herd, but rather he's bringing forth the very best. He promises to offer the prayers to the Lord and to offer praise, the verse 17. In other words, what's he doing here? He's dedicating himself to the Lord. He's saying, Lord, I'm going to give my all to thee. You've preserved me. You've kept me. You've saved me. You're watching over me. Lord, I'm going to now give myself to you. I'm going to dedicate myself to thee. Child of God, we are to worship the Lord corporately, yes. When we're able to. But we are to worship the Lord personally, continually. Romans 12 and the verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable sacrifice. In other words, no longer are we asking you to bring a fatling, to bring a calf, or to bring a ram, or to bring a lamb to the church here for us to offer a sacrifice. No, the sacrifice has been done. Christ sacrificed that one-time sacrifice for sin. No longer do we offer any animal. Because the blood of bulls and goats is not enough. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed for our sins. And so we offer ourselves. We put our whole bodies on the altar for the Lord. We hand our lives. We dedicate our lives. And we say, Lord, my life is yours. I will praise you continually. I will offer my praise. I will offer my prayers. Not giving of ourselves to continual worship, both publicly and privately, then also is a testimony to all around us of what the Lord has done in our lives. How the goodness and the mercy of the Lord is following us every day. You see, whenever the churches are open and your family is there and they see you getting up every week, and they see you going to church, and your neighbors, they'll see you going to church every week, and they'll see you coming home from church, and they'll see that desire. Look, that man, that woman, he's away again. He's going to the house of the Lord. Why is he going there? And then it's that testimony. He must really have something to be thankful for. And here was the psalmist, and he's going into the house of the Lord continually. He's offering the very best. And even through his actions and then through his words, he would be able to tell others what Christ has done for him. A testimony shared, even as the verse 16 says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, I will declare what he hath done for my soul. You come into the house of the Lord, you lift your voice unto the Lord, you're singing, you're full of the joy, and you're even showing through your singing, through your praise. And even your prayers, whether it be in the prayer meeting before the church service or the midweek prayer meeting times, that you're giving thanks and praise. Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. And it is that living testimony even to others. Christ Jesus is worthy of all of my praise. And worthy of all of my honor. And worthy of all of my talents, all of my strength, all of my being. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. Whenever the individual can lift up their hearts and they can praise the Lord for what he's done. Oh, what a day that will be. Even whenever we consider as we draw our time to a close tonight. What a day it will be even to be back in the house of the Lord. We can join together once again. We can come into the house of the Lord with joy in our hearts. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. To enter into the house of the Lord, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. To go there with joy in our hearts. We're joining together to worship. To lift up our voices, to pray, to cry unto the Lord. Be able to testify to others. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. I will declare what I've done for my soul. What a day that will be. But there is a greater day even coming yet. Day when the Lord returns. Day when he gathers all his people unto himself. A day whenever all of the lands will praise. The kindreds, the nations, the tongues. Every color. Every class of people. Every man, woman that is saved and washed in the precious blood of Christ from right across the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ, all united together, serving and worshiping, praising the Lord. Oh, that the world would praise him. Oh, that our nation would praise him once again. And oh, that we, as individuals, would praise him in everything we do and say. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. It says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Are we doing that in our lives? Everywhere we go, everything we'd say, everything we do, are we honouring, are we praising, are we worshipping the Lord? Oh, I trust it is the case. You're not saved. My friend, there is a God out there who is amazing. He loved nothing better than to save you. Will you not come to him? Will you not come and have that joy? That joy that fills our souls. That peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, we now come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Child of God, even now rejoice. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Even now in your own home, spend time even in prayer, thanking the Lord for his many mercies. Thanking the Lord for Jesus Christ. Thanking the Lord for sending his Son into this world to die for our sins. Thanking the Lord for keeping us, for watching over us. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee, and we do rejoice in the goodness and the mercy of Almighty God. We rejoice in salvation. Rejoice, O God, that thou art the God of salvation, that thou art the one who is able, and thou art the one who is still in the soul-saving business. That men and women from right across this world are being saved, are being washed in the precious blood of Christ. Oh, what a day that will be when all of the kindreds and nations and the tongues will join together. And they'll sing the song of the redeemed. Oh God in heaven, we pray even that thou wilt continue to bless. Thou wilt bless all of our missionaries across the world. Each one who is faithfully serving thee, that thou wilt give them days of great blessing ahead. Days of great harvest when precious souls are saved. Remember our nation. Remember our denomination, our church as a whole. O Father, we have much to praise and to thank thee for. I know that thy praise and praise will be rendered to thee right across our land. O Father, bless, we pray thee. Lord, we thank thee for personal salvation. Thank thee, O God, for watching over us, for keeping us even to this very point. Lord, we trust thee that thou wilt keep us forever. O Heavenly Father, just bless even now. Encourage thy people, speak to the lost. Lord, glorify thy Son. Remember this Sunday. Remember as the children will be taking part in Children's Day. And as thy word comes forth as well, we pray that even that thou wilt bless it and use it. That it will all come together for the honour and for the glory of King Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. I want to thank you once again for joining us. And I do pray that wherever you are, that the Lord will richly bless you. The Lord will continue to speak by his Spirit and apply his word even to your heart. Do remember the services on Sunday. We do invite you to come once again with us and even come and hear the children as they will be taking part and hear the word of God as well. Invite and encourage others even to join as well. Share and let others know about this meeting or the meetings that are taking place. And we do trust that the Lord will bless each one in his name. Amen.